It's Saturday night. That means it's time for the Don Tony Show.
The wait all week long is finally over. Get Don Tony's perspective on current affairs in the world of pro wrestling and much more. The Don Tony Show.
And now, your host, the man, the legend, Don Tony.
Hey, how you doing, everybody? It's Saturday night, March 12th, 2022. This is the Don Tony Show. I am Don Tony. I want to thank you very much for tuning in tonight. Big shout out to my live friends and family out there. Big shout out to everybody on the replay, audio, video. As long as you tune in, that's what matters. We have some interesting topics to get into. One, pretty rough, man. Pretty rough with Big E. Man, that was awful yesterday. But we'll try to lighten up the mood a little bit during the show. Shout out to Austin Nance, 14 months. Hey, channel member, happy anniversary, my brother. Happy anniversary. All throughout tonight, to try to liven up the mood, we will try to get Sami Zayn on the telephone. We will try. I have his number ready on speed dial and all throughout the night just to try to break up the mood. Busy. Hold on. Yeah, busy. We'll try a couple of times throughout the show. Listen, I got news for you. One fall, the only reason why I'm even thinking about doing this is because a buddy of mine actually got him on the phone yesterday. And he's like, don't call my number. And he got it recorded. So I might, if he sends it to me, I'll share it on Monday. What do you mean I might? If he sends it to me, I'll share it. So, but anyway, let's talk about the serious news that has gone down. And man, yesterday we had the first ever SmackDown watch party. And we had the Rampage watch party right after. And both watch parties were great. A lot of fun. A lot of you showed up, hung out. We had a great time watching both shows and commenting. And, you know, at first, we had no idea that Big E was injured. And when we saw it outside the ring, I mean, when you're watching it in real time, and especially when the announcers have said, you know, a couple of times that somebody gets dumped on the head, it didn't look as serious as it was. And some of you even commented that, you know, it looked like he might have landed on his shoulder or something like that. Until literally a minute later, I had Twitter going in the background and I started getting DM. Holy shit, you don't know what just happened. And a few of our friends that tune into the shows were there live in Birmingham. So they were sending me a couple of quick pictures while they were there, and you could see a bunch of people surrounding Big E at ringside. And then they put him on a stretcher. Then when you realized very quickly that it was something serious. And yes, we will talk about Pete Dunne and the name change, you know, which happened 5 minutes before this injury. And yeah, I have a few things to say about Pete Dunne's name change. We'll get into it. I got a couple of photos I want to share also. But, you know, my immediate thought was, the hell with the name change or the look change. Right now, the most important concern is this man okay? Let's hope to God he didn't break his neck. That's what I wrote last night. And unfortunately, Big E did break his neck. He fractured his C1 and C6, and a particular doctor chimed in on this. And I got to be honest with you, when I saw the doctor's first report, and I'm not jumping ahead because I'll read you what a couple of things that he said. When I first read his report, I'm like, come on, man, don't use this situation to try to get your name all over the net, because you know every podcast is going to run with what this guy is claiming. But I started looking into it more and more and more. This doctor is not off at what he was saying. Now, for those, and I'll tell you something else with Ridge Holland. You know, I have something to say about Ridge Holland in a little bit. And I know for a fact it's not going to be 100% in agreement. I think some people will agree. I think some people will emphatically disagree. But for those that don't know what went down last night on SmackDown, you know, we had the New Day versus Ridge Holland and Sheamus. Pete Dunne was in their corner. He is a member. We'll get back to Pete Dunne in a little bit. And long story short, Big E and Ridge Holland were outside the ring. And Ridge Holland hit a belly-to-back suplex. And Big E went down. Like I said, at first we thought maybe he landed on his shoulder. Some people thought collarbone. But, and I have the footage right here that I'm going to share with you. If you look at it, it's very fast. That's why if you look at that, I mean, even if I put this in full speed, I mean, you really, it doesn't look as bad as what it is. But then when you actually, you know, you pause it like that, you realize, oh, fuck. And we said on the watch party yesterday, you know, shades of Sabu and Chris Benoit from ECW back in the early 90s, 93, 94. I don't remember which year it was. I think it was 94. But you think recently, you know, with Madcap Moss, you know, and I ask the question. I ask the question, which I think seriously. And this is not exaggeration. I really thought about this the last 24 hours, and I'm like, yeah, no, I'm going to ask this question. Is it absolutely necessary to do a move like that, especially on big guys? Especially on big guys. You know, because that's a lot of weight to not only have to, you know, pick up in some way, but also push off with. You know, maybe you do it with the lighter wrestlers, but, you know, over the years, and look, other wrestlers have injured themselves with a C1 break, C6. You know, I thought of Pitbull Gary Wolf. I thought of Tyson Kidd. You know, I thought of others who have broken their neck in those particular spots. Yes, Austin and others broke their neck too. But is the belly-to-back absolutely necessary? I mean, would this match be any less good because that one move is not executed? And yes, sure, another suplex, another move could result in the same thing. But something like this, you know, I don't know if that move is absolutely necessary. And yes, you look at the thousands of times the move has been connected over the years, you know, and have one broken neck out of thousands of times it's executed, or hundreds of times, you know, that's pretty good odds. But still, even one injury like that is one too many. And Puffy89, shout out to you, my friend. And yes, I will get into other questions, but if it's particularly related to the topic at hand, obviously we'll get into it now. He says, twice Ridge Holland had dropped someone wrong. Remember Johnny Gargano in NXT? Puffy, you read my mind. This is Ridge Holland and Johnny Gargano in NXT. Anybody that tunes into my shows on a weekly basis, you remember. At that time, a lot of people, including yours truly, just were not in the camp of Johnny Gargano. It just felt like he was stuck in the mud. And I have said repeatedly that that match, that move, changed my view on Johnny Gargano because the guy continued. Now, sure, if you have a seriously injured neck, you do not continue. But the guy roughed it out and insisted he was okay, and he dodged a scare. But you look at this. If you've never seen this, this is Ridge Holland versus Johnny Gargano in 2020. And as you will see, look at this. Boom, right on his head. You'll see a replay. Watch Johnny Gargano's head. Boom. It's, I don't know. And Johnny Gargano's a smaller guy. He's a smaller guy. So, you know, this is awful. Now, I'll get back to Ridge Holland. in a few moments. I wanted to share with all of you Big E's latest update. He posted this for everybody to see. Everyone is allowed to share it, so I am sharing it with you. Big E obviously had a previous video yesterday, and you know, last night it was pretty much, look, my neck is broken, but I could still move around my fingers. All my strength is there, which is critical. Because even yesterday, Vape Ross Vape, much love, my friend. Shout out, welcome back to the family. But yesterday, during the watch party, okay, you know, he's on the stretcher. We were looking for any signs of movement. And as he was being walked to the back, he lifted up his finger. And you know what? I know it's only one finger, but that said a lot. Because we didn't know it was a C1 at that time. C1 is the scariest of breaks. As this doctor explained, for a lot of people, that is instant paralysis. And for others, it could be death. It's crazy shit. But anyway, Big E posted an update today, and I'm going to share it with you right now.
So I got some really good news, all things considered. The C1 and C6 are indeed fractured, not displacement, though, which is a very good thing. And I don't have any damage to my spinal cord, no ligament damage, and no surgery, which I'm very thankful for. And a pro tip, if you're going to break your neck, do it in Birmingham. They've been great. Everyone here at UAB has been great. But for real, it's meant a ton to me that so many of you have been so kind and reached out, stopped in to see me, texted me. I feel like I sound like a broken record, but I am very grateful. And I'm going to be all right. It's a blessing.
You know, there's so many people who are beloved in the world of wrestling, and Big E is one of those. And an injury was not needed for everyone to realize how beloved this man is, not only amongst wrestling fans, but amongst his peers. And to see this happen to him is just terrible. It's just terrible. And look, no surgery required. That is excellent. You know, no damage to his spinal cord. That's excellent. No ligament tears, no ligament damage. That's excellent. But a C1 break is serious, 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 especially in the world of pro wrestling. Contact sport, landing on your head, your back. And right now, the most important thing for Big E is, I know it's cliche to say wishing you a speedy recovery. He has to recover 100%. There is a doctor by the name of Dr. David Chow. And yes, other doctors have chimed in, but his article is the one getting the most attention because of the title he chose to use. And his title was Big E's Pro Wrestling Career May Be Over. Now, when I saw that, I got pissed off. I got pissed off, and I'll tell you why. And hear me out, because towards the end, I changed my mood a little bit. You know, right now, Big E needs all the love, the thoughts, the prayers, and the inspiration, and the good cheer, the good mood, happiness, that he's going to beat this, he's going to heal. You think this guy in a hospital bed wants to go online and have a doctor write in big, bold print, Big E's wrestling career may be over? Sure, that could light a fire under Big E's ass. There ain't no way my wrestling career is over this. But it's got to stick in the back of your mind that what if? And you know what the worst part is? You know. That there's going to be a lot of wrestling shows and a lot of articles in the desperate attention for hits that are going to use as the title, Big E's wrestling career may be over. Oh my God, what happened? You know, they know about the injury, but why? And they're going to reference this. So it really pissed me off to see that used as the title. If the doctor wants to chime in on C1 and C6, fine. But to use that as a title, I thought that was a little bit poor taste. Then I started looking into this a little bit further. Now, the doctor is legit. He was a team doctor for the San Diego Chargers for 16 years. That is impressive. He's part of the medical team at Oasis in San Diego, California. He treats orthopedic sports injuries. He works with the NFL, NBA, MLB, and he also worked with WWE in the past. This is not no bullshit chiropractor just trying to give his 2 cents for fame. This is a legit doctor. And when he talks about the injuries in detail, he mentions that the C1 fracture, even though it's not displaced and did not need surgery, if it does not heal 100%, then his wrestling career may be over. It's the most dangerous of any top cervical vertebrae injury, and it's associated many times with immediate death or paralysis. The C6, as he said, is likely a compression injury, and since he doesn't require surgery, he just has to be immobilized, and the amount of recovery time is usually around 3 months for the C6. So the C6 is excellent prognosis. 3 months rehab could be good to go. The C1 is what's most serious, because if it does not heal properly, then he requires surgery. And if you look into Tyson Kidd and others, you have to get surgery on your C1. Yeah, careers can be over. Now, I'm not writing that, not even in the synopsis. I'm not writing it in the title because, you know, the guy just got injured. You know, let's see how the healing process goes. You know, a month from now, 45 days from now, we hear reports, updates that, you know, there's some complications. It's not healing 100%. And, you know, surgery may be a possibility. That's when you talk about it. So I understand in the doctor's eyes why he said what he said. And it's definitely something to monitor. It's not just, hey, rest, do not move, and you'll be better. It's not the case with a C1. So it goes without saying, everybody here, including myself, everyone out there, sends nothing but positive thoughts Big E's way. You know, just rest, rehab, stay strong. Not only, you know, physically, not much he could do. Can't work out, can't do anything. He's got to stay strong up here, because the doubts could creep in very, very quickly. And, man, you don't wish that on anybody. But a guy, you know, like that, you know, you just, you know, terrible. Absolutely terrible. So now I want to say something very quickly about Ridge Holland. And look, yes, I am a fan of Ridge Holland's work, but I swear to you right now, being a fan of Ridge Holland has nothing to do with what I'm about to say. Ridge Holland did go to the hospital yesterday. And, yeah, I mean, that's the common sense, Captain Obvious thing to do. Can you imagine, you know, how the company, Big E and others, would have felt if he didn't even go? Of course he had to go. I mean, it's not like, oh, that's cool, he went. No, you got to go. But I thought about Ridge Holland yesterday as well, because this is 2 incidents now where one escaped serious injury, one did not. And I even said it last night during SmackDown, the watch party. I said, you know, I really feel bad with Ridge Holland. because I could only imagine the crucifixion that non-wrestlers are going to give this guy. Fire him, get rid of him. He shouldn't be in wrestling. We thought Nia Jax was bad. What the fuck is this guy? Look, man, accidents happen. And it's just, it's the nature of the beast when you take high-risk moves and you're flipping around, you know, your weight. I mean, we've seen it countless times in wrestling where somebody gets dumped on the head. We just saw it recently with Madcap Moss. We saw it with Jericho in the match with Eddie Kingston. You know, just because Jericho didn't break his neck doesn't mean he didn't get dumped on his head. Just because Madcap Moss didn't break his neck doesn't mean he didn't get dumped on his head. You know, some of these moves are very, very risky. And it's not just, and I'm not putting any blame on Big E. Do not try to twist my words. But it's not just one wrestler tossing another. You know, that other wrestler depends on second said wrestler who's going to take the move to lift as well. And if things do not go perfect, it's the difference between, you know, landing on your shoulder and escaping and landing square on your head. There are moves that are just extremely, extremely risky. And I feel bad for Ridge Holland because this guy is getting crucified over this. Of course, he definitely deserves a lot of blame for what happened. But, you know, understand that, you know, that move has been executed by him, I mean, countless times in his career with nothing going wrong. It could have been simply that they were outside the ring and maybe one or both just slipped a little. You know, sweat on the floor. I'm not trying to make excuses for the guy, but I just feel bad of how he is getting eaten alive. Now, if people within the pro wrestling industry has something to say about Ridge Holland, I will listen. But just take note that nobody, as far as I'm aware of, in the wrestling industry, the wrestlers that execute these moves, the wrestlers that take these moves, not one of them is saying anything about Ridge Holland yet. So those are the ones that I'm concerned with. The one thing that I said yesterday that I think might be necessary, even if it does kind of go against his character, of course it goes against his character. I think Ridge Holland maybe needs to say something publicly, you know, whether it's text or preferably a video, sending his thoughts and prayers to Big E. Yes, it will be greeted with thousands of hate because hate is what attracts. You know, I realize it today. We send thoughts and prayers with Big E and pictures of my eggs with avocado gets three times as many likes. You know, if I were to put fuck Ridge Holland, then I would have gotten blown away with likes. You know, it's terrible. It's an accident. I don't know where you go from here as far as that move and other moves. But when it comes to the bigger guys, when there's a lot more weight involved, you know, you may need to adjust a little bit. There's thousands of wrestling moves. There's hundreds of power moves. They're a lot less risky. And I will close with this. There's no one that's going to tell me that the match would have been graded a quarter of a star less for those that do that, or people saying, oh, the match was not good simply because one or two power moves are omitted. You know, I think pro wrestling, especially with the big guys, they got to be very, very careful. Very careful with that much weight involved. So best wishes go out to Big E. But for me, I'm not going to speak for you because I don't want to put anybody, any words out of it into anybody's mouth. But I also send my thoughts with Ridge Holland because I could only imagine it's even forget about social media for a minute. Imagine the guilt that must be going through the confidence issue, you know, probably had flashbacks of Gargano. Maybe I'm not that good. Maybe I shouldn't be in the ring. You know, you imagine the amount of guilt on his mind, and there should be guilt, no question. But, you know, just an awful situation, no matter how you look at it. Rams fan with the super chat, those who choose to harass Ridge Holland on social media, would they have done it to Owen Hart in 97 too? Number one, how could they do it to Owen Hart in 97? He wouldn't have been dead already. And number two, it's two different incidents. You know, understand something. Big E took the move. They set up the move. Big E knew he was going to take this move. Big E has taken this move from Ridge Holland before. Big E has taken this move from other wrestlers before. You can't compare each incident. In wrestling, where you do high-flying moves, there's always room for injury, serious injury. You look at 630s and, you know, all the crazy shit, the Spanish Fly and others, all you got to do is just slip just a little. And that's the difference between landing on your back and landing on your head. I mean, wrestling is high risk. It's not the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, and even part of the 90s where it was more a ground game and psychology. But you look at MJF, you look at Punk, you look at Danielson, you look at others. Sure, Danielson will do a high-flying move off the top rope once in a while, but a lot of those guys, it's mostly ground game. And they do just fine. I think some wrestlers have to adapt to, you know, look, the belly to back, seeing Powerhouse Hobbs and Keith Lee going back and forth for a quick second yesterday. Yeah, you want to see, you know, giant person use physical strength on giant person, but there's got to be some moves that you could do that are a little bit safer. Because, again, injuries like this don't happen very often. They are rare. But at the same time, though, it is something that you don't even want one. You don't even want one. Tombstone. The tombstone still scares the shit out of me sometimes. Sometimes you see people execute it, and it looks scary when you see the way some necks compress. But, you know, luckily we have not seen injury. The Styles Clash still freaks me out sometimes when you think about some of the injuries that happened. But those injuries were more of the fault of the recipient, not AJ Styles. So, all right, let's move on because we spent almost 30 minutes with this. And if we're doing an hour show, an hour and 10 minutes, obviously, we need to get through some topics here. So, all right, let's talk about Pete Dunne for a little bit. This was the next big thing that went down yesterday. Yesterday on SmackDown, we had Ridge Holland and Sheamus cutting a promo, preparing their match against the New Day. Now, by having Pete Dunne brought in as the third person, that told me, and I said it yesterday, that tells me that Xavier Woods must be very close to a return. Now, the problem is, obviously, if Xavier Woods is about to return, you know, to have Ridge Holland and Sheamus and Pete Dunne together as a trio, now the New Day is back to a duo. So, in some way, you know, Pete Dunne may have a little program with Kofi Kingston over this. But this may end up having a difference in creative plans for Pete Dunne now because of the injury to Big E. You know, it might lead to a little domino effect. But the big news about Pete Dunne yesterday was the change of his name, which they didn't change his name. They called it a nickname. And honestly, I think that's the safer way to go. Because when you use a nickname, you're also sending the message that the other name is still there and it could still be used. a lot of people were very angry at the nickname given to Pete Dunne, and that is Butch. They gave him Butch. Now, he also changed his look a little bit. And I'll leave it up to our live friends out there. Do you want the truth about why they changed his look and what that look is supposed to be? Or do you want me to use a look that is to just rip WWE and mock WWE? Do you want the truth or do you want to be lied to? All right. Or, you know, misinformed. But for those that didn't see it yesterday, yeah. All right. Yeah, that's how I brought him out. You know, so it was pretty funny because Sheamus is like, welcome to SmackDown Creative, fella. Welcome to WWE Creative. This isn't NXT no more, fella. Pete Dunne, not too thrilled. Okay. Everybody wants the truth. I know the truth is not as sexy, but for those that didn't see it yesterday, that's Pete Dunne's new look. You look at the pants, outdated. He's wearing a wife beater, which is a tank top for people that don't know. He had suspenders on yesterday as well. The suspenders came off. Again, if you look at, just look in the background, you could see him wearing the suspenders. You know, they weren't carrying cross suspenders, but they had him wearing suspenders. But this is his look yesterday. Now, I'm asking you an honest question before I even describe what that look is supposed to be. Be honest right now. There is no wrong answer. For everybody in the chat room, you could use the look from yesterday, you could use that as letter A. And then everybody on replay could look at the chat room and see your responses. That we use as letter A. Which look do you think looks better for the main roster? That from last night, which is letter A, or this, which is letter B? His NXT look or his look yesterday? Let's be honest. Forget about the Butch for a second. Which one looks better? Which one with the WWE Universe? With him with the long hair and wearing fur and having the singlet? Which I have no problem with. But which look looks better? Honestly, if it wasn't for the pants, it's almost like a little bit of a Jersey Shore in some people's eyes. You know, of course he looks a little bit small because he is a little bit small. All right? So I ask you, for me, honestly, and this is not trying to defend WWE, I like the look from last night better. It looks better. So now, for those out there that don't know where this look is from, and I saw people, you know, calling him a grocery clerk, a deli clerk, a paper boy. I saw, what else did I see? Somebody hanging out in the streets. Dream, I am not a WWE drone. Far from it. I'm just telling you where this look came from. If you think of Ridge Holland, and you think of Sheamus, you think of Ireland, okay? That look that they gave him yesterday is from here. It is from the 20s, the Irish street gangs with the pancake hat, the T-shirt, the suspenders. That is the look that they gave him yesterday. He's a fighter. That's what it looked like from the streets. It's a little bit of a throwback. I'm not telling you if I like the 20s throwback. I'm just showing you the truth of what inspired WWE to come up with this. Some people said Butch from Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. Okay, that's fine. But this is the look. They were talking about the Irish gangs from the 20s. You know, if you, there's tons of photos online that identical, especially with those pants. I'm just telling you where they got the look from. I'm not saying that it's the best. Could they have gone in the middle? Absolutely. Could they still tweak his look? Absolutely. I personally think get rid of the suspenders. And it's not even because of the Karrion Kross fiasco, but I just personally think, you know, he's not as small as WWE thinks that he is. So you put the suspenders on, it tightens it a little bit. It just has, it adds a little to the look to it. No, I don't think it's needed, you know, but Benjamin, it doesn't matter if you're English, Italian, Irish. It's about gangs and fighting and the streets and, you know, a throwback. That's where they got that from. So, oh, people saying that they change it because of Kevin Dunn. The fuck out of here. And some people will report that. Let them report what they report. I'm just telling you, from me, the truth as far as where they got what they got. Do I like the name Butch? Not really. Not really. Butch is definitely a throwback name from the 20s. You were in the streets. Butch was a hard-nosed pit bull bully. Stay away from Butch. Some people might bring up the Little Rascals, but it's not anything with the Little Rascals. Little Rascals didn't get physical like that. They were children. But if you go back to the 20s, and you look into about the streets and the gangs and everything like that, that is where they got that from. Now, if there's any consolation about this, you know, at least they called it a nickname. At least they called it a nickname because they can always revert back to Pete Dunne. I mean, let me ask you an honest question. Sheamus used to have two names, Sheamus or Shaughnessy. What if they got rid of Dunn and they just called him Petey? Does that sound any better? No, it doesn't sound any better to me. So Pete Dunn, obviously they want to create character. You know, the trademark, obviously, you know, they're, you know, just like what they did with Gunther. You know, this is why they do it. I mean, they're going to trademark it, but at least they're using it as a nickname. I'm not that thrilled about Butch. I'm not going to lie. But again, I'm sorry, just in my opinion, I look at that look yesterday, I look at this look in NXT, and I say to myself, unbiased, for the main roster, which look looks better? Let's say both of them are twin brothers. They're going to go out to, they're going to be in Jacksonville, Florida next week. Okay. They're going to go, they're going to be both in Jacksonville, Florida. And you know what? We're not even going to get changed. We're just going to go right to the club. We're going to go hang out in the back. You know, which look would be more attractive to the ladies? You know, I mean, seriously, it's not as bad of a look as you'd think. Maybe they shouldn't have gone back to the 20s, but wearing a wife beater shirt, the tank top, you know, a little bit rugged. You know, a lot of people dress like that. Romanowski thinks Butch looks a little modern. Yeah, because they're not going to really wear pants from the 20s. Oh, my God, he'd be scratching his ass on SmackDown every 2 seconds. Clothes back then were not as comfortable as what they are now. So, especially if he's got to move around in them a little bit. But I don't think it's that big of a deal. To be honest, my main concern is that Pete Dunne is used the right way. Pete Dunne does not start jobbing out to, you know, every you know, person on the roster. My main concern is that Pete Dunne, whether Butch or Pete Dunne or Petey, you know, I want him used the right way. That's it. That's how I look at it. Look, you don't have to even change his arsenal. Breaking the fingers, you know, that's something you do in the streets. Break the fingers. As long as they don't call him Petey Pinky, you know, because he breaks pinkies. So that's the deal with Butch. So before we get into some quick results from SmackDown and Rampage from yesterday, a couple other quick tidbits. You know what? Let's try Sami Zayn. Let's see if we get him on the phone. He's probably going to be busy. I don't have that star. What was it? Star 82? I don't think you could do that on a speakerphone. Did we get through? Trying to call. I don't know. Maybe we got through. Nothing's happening. It's really going through. Yeah, that's a burner phone. Oh, it dropped. Let's try it one more time. We'll try it again later.
Hey, you've reached Sami Zayn. I'm not available to answer the phone right now, so please leave a message at the tone, and I'll be sure to get to you as soon as I can. Bye.
You hear it?
Mailbox is full.
Oh!
Notification.
Did you hear his greeting? We got through. Let's call one more time. Look, I got through. Holy shit. Let's see if I can make it louder.
Hey, you've reached Sami Zayn. I'm not available to answer the phone right now, so please leave a message at the tone, and I'll be sure to get to you as soon as I can. Bye.
You can hear, right?
Sorry, mailbox is full. To send an SMS notification, press 5.
I'll press, yeah.
Your SMS notification will include your number, 1, 3, 4, 7.
Ha ha, I'm putting my phone number on there. So we got through. All right. I sent him a text message. Sent him a notification. We'll see if he calls back. We'll leave it right there. See if he calls back. We got through Sami Zayn. All right, for those that don't know, you know, before we talk about William Regal, to intensify the feud between Sami Zayn and Johnny Knoxville. Johnny Knoxville in Los Angeles, California, actually hired a plane and had Sami Zayn's phone number go through the Los Angeles skies. Then TMZ posted the video of it. It is a burner phone for Sami Zayn. Okay, that's not his longtime cell phone. It's a burner phone. I still love it. I think it's hilarious. Johnny Knoxville actually posted Sami Zayn's number, and everybody has been having a field day calling Sami Zayn. So all throughout the thing, miss call. So, this is the Sami Zayn. That's the Sami Zayn I want. Let's see. Should we try to FaceTime him? Could we FaceTime him? I don't know. I never tried FaceTiming before. Maybe we could FaceTime him. Let me see. He ain't going to pick up. We know that. Maybe we'll get a text message. DT, fuck you. I remember what you said last year about the pandemic. So that's what Johnny Knoxville did to intensify the feud. It's hilarious. You know, I'm definitely looking forward to this match. I mean, I think in the end, Sami Zayn ends up on top. But the fact that there's no titles on the line, even better, even better. So let's talk about William Regal. All right. William Regal, unfortunately, is now the immediate victim of fake news and clickbait. You know what bothers me about it more than anything is that William Regal is not an extremely difficult person to reach if you are in the wrestling news world. Now, I'm not talking about prowrestlingschmuck.com. I'm talking about the wrestling news sites that actually do have legitimate connections and direct contacts for businesses. I am a supporter of Dave Meltzer, but when you make a medical claim about someone, and especially to portray that it's very serious, I would think just not even good reporting. I think just out of respect and out of being classy, you make sure that you are 100% right, or you don't need to put the remark that you put. For those that don't know, you know, when William Regal cut his promo on Dynamite, he talked about that he doesn't have, you know, as much time as people think that he does, and he has hit a lot of empty bottles over the years, and, you know, he almost feels like he's on borrowed time. Fine. He did an interview with Chris Jericho that will drop next week, Talk is Jericho. And he does talk about past health issues. Problem is, and I will say this, some people out there think that Chris Jericho fed Meltzer incorrect news. I'm not making that accusation, but I'm just putting it out there. But for those that don't know, I'm going to show you the exact words that Dave Meltzer wrote in his newsletter. And the first sentence is what bothers me more than anything else. He says, apparently Regal's health issues at this stage is far more serious than have ever come out. And there is an interview that will be released next week that he did for Talk is Jericho that will detail them. There was no reason to break before it comes out of William Regal's mouth himself that his health issues at this stage, if he would have left out those three words, it could have been interpreted that maybe Meltzer was talking about in recent years. But when you deliberately write at this stage, that means at the present, at the current time in hand. So that's what Meltzer writes in his newsletter. So what happens? Remember when I said about Jeff Hardy? Remember when he walked out of WWE and he left, quit? Remember Mike Johnson? Remember what I said that night? That these reporters are very dangerous. They are very dangerous because every little thing that you say, people will run with it. People will run with it. And when Mike Johnson said that Jeff Hardy was in rough shape, you go back and you look at that. You tell me, where was he in rough shape? Was he moving around disoriented? Did he look like he was drunk? Did he look like he was incapacitated? No, not at all. What happened? Very irresponsible sites ran with it. Rough shape. They watched the video. Instead of saying, he walked through the crowd, but I don't see he's in rough shape. Rothman, much love. Shout out to you, Rothman. I'll get into your comment in a little bit. Thank you very much. You watch the video. You see Jeff Hardy exit. Is he in rough shape? He's being beat down in a match like any wrestler does every day. Nothing. So Dave Meltzer writes that, and you know people are going to use that as a headline. So what happens? William Regal responds almost immediately after. William Regal's exact words were, already? That's why I stay out of the rumor mill and gossip. I've just found out that there's things being printed about my health. I am healthier than I've been in many years. I talked this week to someone about things that happened in 2018. William Regal, almost an hour, only an hour after Meltzer's comments in his newsletter circulated, William Regal put it to bed. It's bullshit. I am healthier than I've ever been before. Guys, gals, go on YouTube now or after the show and just type in William Regal health issues. and you will see show after show after show after show reporting it in their headlines that William Regal has serious health issues. They went with the story, even though William Regal shot it down. And if anybody had already recorded their show and then read Regal's comment, they're just as wrong by publishing it anyway. There was only an hour between the time that Meltzer, his newsletter comments circulated, and William Regal shot it down. So if somebody recorded within that hour and posted online, okay, that could happen. But you see, and you see 80, 100, 200,000 views, and then you click on it, 1,000 likes, and the whole story is phony. It's fake. And Ronnie, I'll get into the Cody stuff next. But that is awful. This is a perfect example of what I said, that these reporters, it's dangerous when they do this stuff. It's dangerous because people will still run with the story. Now you have tons of people that think that William Regal's in pretty rough shape health-wise, and people still ran with the story. That is awful. That is awful. So William Regal is now, I mean, the beloved William Regal. You know, in my opinion, again, I still support Meltzer. I subscribe. I'm not canceling it. But for him, okay, he wrote the newsletter a week before, and he released it. Remember, Meltzer, see, look, I'm not defending Meltzer here, but I look at it like this. Meltzer put it out there, and then William Regal corrected him. I expect Meltzer to correct, you know, what he said. You know, the problem is these newsletters get printed and mailed. That's it. It's out there. He will update the story next week. So I know Meltzer will do the right thing. But for all the people that still went with that story, that just shows you how much they actually do respect William Regal. They respect him so much that they still run with a bullshit story just to get hits. That's so disrespectful. It is awful. So, all right. No, he will, Psycho. I am confident that he will. And if he doesn't, you know, we'll definitely talk about it for sure. No Sami Zayn text message yet. Maybe we'll try calling him again, or maybe he'll pick up the phone this time. Maybe he'll be in his hotel room and be like, hey, let me just see if somebody, you know, is trying to call me. Let's try again. Probably get a busy signal.
Your call cannot be completed at this time. Please try again later.
Did he block me? I wonder if he blocked me. Oh, now it's busy. All right, so let's move on from William Regal. Cody Rhodes, more BS. The latest Cody Rhodes clickbait that you all are reading is that WWE wants him on Raw, that he might be on Raw. You know, I read an article from Ringside News. I know, break my fingers. Pete Dunne, break my fingers for hitting the enter button. But I want to read you something from Ringside News just to prove to you that none of these people have connections, okay? If you've paid attention the last month, 1 week is they want Cody for Mania. The following week, talks have fizzled out. A week later, Cody is just, you know, in storylines going back to AEW. A week later, that they're talking about this, that he might take on Seth Rollins. He may not take on Seth Rollins. Talks are off. Talks are back on. WWE wants him on Raw. WWE doesn't want him on Raw. Creative has been told there's been a change and this and that. All right. It all comes down to creative. Now, if you're intelligent, you'll see exactly where I'm going with this. Listen closely to what Ringside News wrote. They pretty much revealed to everyone that none of these sites have any connections whatsoever to WWE in any shape. This is the article. It's very quick. It's only two little paragraphs, but the second paragraph is really epic. It's epic. WWE would like to to bring Cody Rhodes back in Jacksonville for obvious reasons. After all, Rhodes wrestled the majority of his matches over the past 3 years at Daly's place. The fact is that a deal is not finalized at this point. We exclusively reported what the creative team was told about Cody Rhodes' status. That's the sentence. That is the holy grail. We exclusively reported what the creative team was told about Cody Rhodes' status. Okay. They exclusively reported what the creative team was told. Okay. Now I ask you, who on the creative team did they get that info from? Now, we don't know, obviously. Listen to this next paragraph. It is totally opposite of what they just said. This is hilarious. When asking about Cody Rhodes' current status for Raw, a tenured member of the creative team told us, get ready for this, a tenured member of the creative team told us, quote, "No one has been talking about it. We were also told," here it is, "we were also told that Vince makes the decisions. He tells Bruce Pritchard and Ed Koski and John Laurinaitis and the rest of the team stays in the dark till Mondays." Which one is it? They just told you that Vince tells Pritchard, Koski, John Laurinaitis, and everyone else from the creative team is not told anything until Monday. What happened to all the reports the last 4 to 6 weeks that negotiations fell off, that this is this? How would they know that WWE would want Cody there for Raw if they don't reveal anything to anyone else except for John Laurinaitis, Ed Koski, or Bruce Pritchard? See what I mean? They don't. How many people do you think are on the creative team? 50? There's only a handful. You just eliminated 4 of them. So you look at the rest of the creative team. It's ridiculous. It's bullshit, everybody. Every week, and thank you very much, Ronnie, because I saw this at the beginning of the show. Thank you for the 50 spot. The Cody Rhodes fake news is out of control. Does it piss me off to see so many shows flip-flopping to wrestling fans, and yet they keep tuning in? No, it doesn't piss me off. If those fans, look, let's be honest, everybody. We brought up the National Enquirer the other day. You ever go to the supermarket and you see right by the cash register, you know, you could be in the United States, the UK, every country has it. They have a paper and you look at the article and it says, "I was impregnated by an alien on a spaceship." You know, Valerie Bertinelli had triplets with a dog. You know, Andre the Giant, you know, is still alive. You look at the register, they got all this. Why do people buy it? You're reading it. "I just got rammed in the ass by 3 aliens and it was taped for MySpace." You just see, you look at these articles, people still buy them. They look at it and it says, "My cat is my grandmother," and they still buy it. This is the same thing, everybody. People out there don't mind to be lied to. If it's entertaining and it's interesting, they don't care if it's true or not. Oh, my God, guys, gals, you got a Google image. Go on Google and type in the sun in, well, no, you can't, because then you'll see pictures of the sun in the sky. But you got to type in the Sun newspaper or National Enquirer. National Enquirer was the weakest one of them all. But you got to go on Google image. You got to look at the articles from yesteryear. I mean, people, they were sued, these papers, because they would get out of car. You know, Michael Jackson, you know, is actually a woman. You know, did whacked out stuff. People still buy it. They're looking at it. Donald Trump is actually an alien. You know, some people might believe that anyway, but people still buy it. So no, it doesn't piss me off. I'm not interested in going down that route. You know, it's not even tempting. But, you know, look, if people out there want to be lied to, this week, look how many places reported that Cody's going to be at Raw. Then he's not going to be at Raw. Then the reports are going to come down that they couldn't work out a deal. Millions of dollars, years, and it's going to come down to, well, you got to show up on Raw. Does that make sense to anybody out there? If they ink a deal with Cody Rhodes, it's not going to come down to the 11:59 hour or 7:55 p.m. on a Monday. Okay, you signed the deal. Good. Should go out there. Cut a promo on Seth Rollins. There is so much involved with the future, royalties, responsibilities, money, years. Lawyers are involved. Notary publics have to sign off on this stuff. The contract is so complicated. This is not a Tony Khan. Hey, you know, sign this deal. You could work wherever you want. Just show up here on Wednesday and Friday. You know, Fridays when we're live and, you know, whatever. And if you're not here, you know, and other times we'll pay you $200 a week. Two-page deal. Hey, yeah, sign it. How's Jay Lethal's deal doing? How's AQA's deal doing? You look at some of these people. Who in their fucking right mind would sign if that was a legitimate, well, maybe it'll use me in 7 months from now. You look at some of the people that they signed. Who in their right mind would sign a deal like that? Oh, but I worked dark for the last 5 weeks. The contracts are not what everybody thinks it is. It's easy money. It's easy money. It's freedom. It's freedom. If I say to you, hey, you could work for us, but hey, you could work here, here, and do all this other stuff too. You just, you know, just show up for this day. You know, we'll take care of this. We'll take care of the plane, blah, 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 blah. Of course. AEW is losing money right now, but the cons are worth tens of billions of dollars. Even if AEW lost $100 million and the guy's worth $15 billion, you would have to, if just think about this. If Tony Khan lost $100 million this year, which is worse than WCW by far. If he lost $100 million this year because of the amount of money he paid out, and he did that for 10 straight years, that would be $1 billion. He is worth $14 billion or $15 billion. The guy could lose his shirt every year for the next 10, 15 years, and it would put a very small dent in his wallet. So I don't look at it about making money or not. I just want to be entertained. I don't give a shit how much money he makes or how much he loses. I just want to enjoy myself. Why do you think the pro wrestling tees, oh, special edition shirt, simply because the comic looks different, $60 with tax and shipping, and if you're fat, you're a fatty like me. You know, $49 for a custom, why? Because it's... So the Cody stuff... You're going to see this every week. They're going to tease that he could be on Raw. And then when he doesn't appear, oh, WWE could not ink a deal with Cody yet. And then a week later, oh, you know, talks are ongoing again. Oh, talks fills it off. Oh, talks did this, talks did that. Don't buy it, anyone. Yeah, Charlie, I am trying to get my hand on an AEW contract. I don't think I will. But I'm just curious for reading purposes. All right. We got to start bringing this home. We obviously talked about the very important topics that are at hand. Very quickly, and I got a funny thing about Ronda Rousey in a moment. Yesterday on SmackDown, the pre-show had Xia Li beating Shotzi Blackheart in about 3 minutes. SmackDown, Ridge Holland and Sheamus over the New Day. Obviously, we talked about that before. Naomi and Sasha Banks over Natalya and Shayna Baszler. We had Rick Boogs and with Shinsuke Nakamura beat Jey Uso. Why was that match important? With Rick Boogs getting the win over Jey Uso, they will now be competing for the tag team championships at WrestleMania. The Usos versus Shinsuke Nakamura and Rick Boogs will be part of night one of WrestleMania 38. And my early thoughts is that I think Nakamura and Boogs could possibly win. I know. We hope that we don't get the number of title defenses like Nakamura had, you know, as a singles champion. But, you know, we're not doing predictions yet. But now this is an official match at WrestleMania 38. For the Intercontinental Championship, we had a rematch, Ricochet beating Sami Zayn in 13 minutes. Excellent, excellent match. Definitely go out of your way to see it. I mean, Sami Zayn pinned clean. And look, seriously, you look at Sami Zayn, you see over here the way he's like portraying himself, that he's all disheveled. He's getting harassed by tons of people. You know, he's doing, the guy is a sports entertainer who happens to wrestle phenomenally. You know, again, that's why I don't like comparing AEW and WWE. Sure, AEW has sports entertainers. Danhausen putting curses on people. You got a dinosaur. You got, look, entertainment is entertainment. It's just the type of entertainment that, you know, makes it a little bit different. But Sami Zayn is perfect for WWE. And the guy, you know, look, he goes and has an awesome match with Ricochet. And then he could do comical shit for the next week or two. And he's getting paid a nice chunk of money over it. So, yeah, there's nothing wrong with sports entertainment. You know, I mean, Eddie Kingston, I love his promo. I love the guy. I love that his favorite is Terry Funk. That is epic. But, you know, and he talks about we're not sports entertainment. Yeah, you are. You are, if you really think about it. But their entertainment, you know, at times is, you know, better than WWE. Each one has their moments. But there's no question, Sami Zayn is awesome. Absolutely awesome. After SmackDown went off the air, Drew McIntyre beat Austin Theory in a dark match. I don't know if Pat McAfee got involved in the dark match. I will find out if anybody wants me to look into it. Yes. Oh, and we had a confrontation with Ronda Rousey and Charlotte. We also had Brock Lesnar, who we were laughing our asses. You know what was funny? When we did the watch party yesterday, anybody who tuned in will vouch for me on this. Everything that Brock Lesnar said and everything that Paul Heyman said to the T, we were calling literally before he even said it. Everything from Paul, you know, Brock, get your ass out of here. Paul with some of his things. He's not here, but you got to go back and you got to watch Paul Heyman running. We saw the MSG clip of him trying to charge the fan, but this might actually be a legitimate health issue with Paul Heyman with his feet, because when I had my car accident in 96 and I had dropped foot for 9 months, whenever I like tried to like walk fast on a treadmill, my feet would not walk like this. They would walk like this sideways. If you look at Paul Heyman when he tries to run, his feet, it's like a penguin. It legitimately looks like a penguin. And Brock calling out Roman Reigns yesterday, he's not there. And Paul Heyman comes out instead, and Brock chases after Paul Heyman. And Brock gets, you know, stopped by security, beats up a few people in the back. Paul Heyman escapes in a SUV. That opened up SmackDown. What closed SmackDown was Charlotte Flair and Ronda Rousey brawling in the back. It felt like that same awful confrontation when they brawled with Becky in the back and Ronda went behind the car, in the driver's seat in the car. And somehow, wasn't she like handcuffed that she was able to like maneuver the car or something with her feet? It was just, I don't know. It was a little too over the top. But, what was hilarious yesterday was Ronda Rousey's promo inside the ring. Now, when they went off the air, Ronda Rousey, who got suplexed on the windshield of a car, and then Charlotte put the camel clutch on Ronda Rousey, when they went off the air, Ronda Rousey looked pissed. She had that look on her face. I hope going forward, Ronda Rousey is pissed off. She came out to cut a promo yesterday. And she's like, so matter of fact about it. At WrestleMania, Charlotte, you're either going to tab. And you see WWE piping in the reaction because she's not energized. So, you know, it's like when, you know, Randy Orton, he's like, you know, come on, and you just yell at the crowd to get them into it more. And Ronda Rousey's just a matter of fact talking to it. And I was like, do you remember this character from Spaceballs? What was that, Prince Valium? That's Ronda Rousey right now. Charlotte Flair, oh, I'm going to beat you at WrestleMania. You're going to either tap or I'm going to... Jesus. If Ronda had a tail, step on it. You ever step on a dog's tail accidentally? You ever step on a dog's tail? Somebody step on her fucking tail. Pinch her ass. Pinch her earlobe. Something. Flick her in the face. She's got no energy out. She's a scary son of a bitch. But she's like so matter of fact about it. Oh, Charlotte at WrestleMania, blah, 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 blah. Charlotte comes out with the mini skirt, you know, having the security hold the rope for her, and she's just doing what she does. I know a lot of people don't like Charlotte, but Charlotte showed yesterday why she is the top of the women's division. She may not be the most beloved or well-liked, but there's a reason why Charlotte's on top. So anyway, that was SmackDown. Fun show. You know, just unfortunately, was overshadowed by Big E's injury. And we just hope that he gets a full recovery. Yesterday, we had Rampage. Rampage had Darby Allin over Mark Quinn. After the match was over, AHFO comes out as if they were going to attack Darby Allin, and the Hardys music play. And they're on the stage. You know, and then just they're dressed to wrestle, but I don't even think they had a dark match that night. Maybe they did. I'm not aware of one, but they just came out on the stage dressed to wrestle and they just stopped. You know, they didn't charge the ring or nothing. I think that was done by design to maybe get a little tease to try to get people to tune in on Friday that, hey, I heard the Hardys are going to be on. They didn't do anything though. Jamie Hayter over Mercedes Martinez. And if you think that WWE is the only one to pipe in crowd noise, you're sadly mistaken. Go back and watch Mercedes Martinez versus Jamie Hayter yesterday. Look at the crowd and listen to the noise, and it doesn't match up. We all noticed that yesterday. And we're AEW fans. We don't do the watch party to rip AEW. We do the watch party because we're AEW fans. We want to watch Rampage. But it was so obvious yesterday. The piping in of crowd reaction yesterday was horrendous. You'll see it for yourself. Keith Lee over QT Marshall. You know, it was what we figured it was. You know, QT, you know, thinks that he's this big heel that everybody hates and wants to see beat up. Nobody wants to see him wrestle for the most part. After the match is over, Aaron Solo, it was so awful. He jumps on Keith Lee. And he's just on his back, almost like, you know, when you're a kid, you jump on your dad's back. Give me a piggyback ride. That's what it looked like yesterday. He wasn't trying to rake Keith Lee's eyes. He wasn't trying to rake his mouth, rip his lips, you know, try to do something, you know, hurt or choke. No, he just was piggyback riding. So he gets tossed. You know, Camarado gets tossed. And that was really it. The only thing that was good was Powerhouse Hobbs and Ricky Starks were on commentary with Taz and the others. And Hobbs and Starks hit the ring and beat down Keith Lee a little bit. We are going to see a match with Hobbs and Keith Lee in the very near future. And that's a match I think a lot of people want to see. I'd love to see them as a tag team, to be honest with you. Not because they're both big and black, but I think they actually could complement each other. I think that gives Hobbs a little bit more opportunity on TV. Keith Lee doesn't have to have a singles match or a squash singles match every time. You know, it takes a little workload off of Keith Lee as well. So that was a good match. And in the main event, which I got to be honest with you, Swerve Strickland is definitely got, he's got it. He just needs to build on it. But you could tell he knows how to, you know, work the crowd. Crowd is into the Swerve's house stuff. But the match with Tony Nese yesterday, I don't know why it main evented Rampage. You know, Tony Nese is no secret. Tony Nese hasn't been thrilled. Yesterday, we looked it up during the show. Do you know Tony Nese, the last time he was on TV, he's only been on, since Tony Nese has signed, he's only been on Dynamite or Rampage. He's only been on TV once. I'm not talking about promos. He had one match, and that was against Guevara. And he hasn't been on TV in over 3 months. So it almost feels like to please Tony Nese, oh, we'll put you on the main event. You won't be the opening match. We'll put you on main event. We'll give you the main event. That match fell flat. The last 2 minutes of the match was a lot of fun. Couple of finishers too much. You know, it should have finished probably 2 minutes earlier. People kicking out of shit that they shouldn't be kicking out of. But in the end, Swerve gets the win over Tony Nese. And Kaya David is asking, why is AEW burying Jay Lethal? Because they have too many people on the roster and they don't know how to use all of them on TV. You know, Ring of Honor, like I've been saying, is going to take probably, I would think, 6 to 9 months to be back to a well-oiled machine doing shows on some type of consistent basis. It may not be more than once a month, but it's going to take time. I mean, you're handing the keys to someone else. You can't just like sit back, okay, let's just book the next show. It's not the way it works. There's going to be, you know, quite a bit of time looking at the books, looking at the roster, looking at this, looking at what kind of revenue is coming in, what's coming in over here. And this, there's so many things. There's legalities, there's paperwork. There's so much stuff. It's not just, hey, here's the keys for Ring of Honor. Oh, we got after WrestleMania. We could just, why don't we just book a house show in Allentown, Pennsylvania, just to give some of the guys work? That's not the way it goes. It's not the way it goes. But once Ring of Honor does have its legs back and it can proceed again, then you can have some of these wrestlers on there. But that's not, could be another year. So you see, you know, and it seems like wrestlers get put on TV just when people start complaining. Jay Lethal noise comes out, suddenly he's on TV. You know, people will soon, even though AQA is not, you know, a star yet, but a few people will bitch about AQA and suddenly she'll be back on TV for a match. And then she disappears again. Last week, Mercedes Martinez. Where was Mercedes Martinez at Revolution when Thunder Rosa was getting bullshit from Jamie Hayter and Rebel? Where was Mercedes Martinez? You know, was there an ice cream truck in the back? She was busy buying ice cream. You know, you look, they mismanage a lot of people in that company. And like I said, the problem is the contracts that you hear that they're going to let go are not people on TV. Who that is on TV is going to be let go to make room for these other wrestlers? And the answer is none, unless you have a faction with 10 people, and then that's how they get on TV. Imagine if you didn't have AHFO as a unit. When does Private Party really make much TV? And if they do, when does Butcher and the Blade make TV? Butcher and the Blade have been on TV for 4 or 5 weeks straight. And have they had a match for the most part? They're pretty much getting beat up by Sting. So let's wrap this up. Let's wrap this up. Theme parks, SRH John, he's allowed to say how over Pat McAfee is with the WWE crowd because he is enjoying them since he has come to WWE and SmackDown. Yesterday, Pat McAfee had an altercation with Austin Theory. And, you know, the crowd was into it. Pat McAfee, you know, he dived off of the announcer's table and got into it with Austin Theory. Crowd enjoyed it. You know, some people think that that match may be a sleeper match at Mania. So I thought it was awesome. You know, when Pat McAfee showed up at WrestleMania wearing, and it was funny because the interview with Vince McMahon, he talked about those shorts. When he showed up the first time at WrestleMania, I'm like, who is this goof with these shorts? Looking like, I mean, he just, the way he dressed, he looked like somebody who would just want a punch in the mouth. And little by little, people were like, DT, give him a chance, give him a chance. Then he did the stuff in NXT. And you realize how much work he put in to work not only Adam Cole, but in War Games. And he turned into the best commentator in WWE. And I even enjoy the Pat McAfee show. Guy really, as I have warmed up on Pat McAfee, and I am enjoying the shit out of him. Enjoying it. King of Games, he is very glad to see Big E having such a positive attitude. Look, I'm not trying to bring this down. You know, it must be awesome to know that you're beloved as much as it's been shown to him the last 24 hours especially. But sitting in a hospital bed with a C1 and C6 fracture and having doctors being realistic and saying, look, you know, this needs to happen and this needs to be healed properly. There's got to be a little bit of depression and sadness. You know, it's just, you know, he seems like an awfully strong man who has been through a lot in his life. And if anybody could get through it, it's probably Big E. So he is keeping a smile on his face. And that is necessary. I just hope he feels it over here too. It's definitely frustrating and painful, no doubt. But, you know, I hope he recovers 100%. Seriously. Could you? And I wrote this on his Twitter earlier. You imagine the night that he returns? I think back of Daniel Bryan when he returned after the retirement. Remember that night when Daniel Bryan made his return in the ring? I mean, that was just beautiful. And that night that Big E could return, that's going to be awesome, man. That's going to be awesome. Let's hope. Let's hope. Rothman, oh, thank you very much. I showed everybody early. I don't have it in my computer over here because right now I'm busy trying to call Sami Zayn again. Let's try one more time. It's not a big deal. Hey, you never know. Maybe he picks up the phone. Nothing? One more time. Hey, at least we got his voicemail before. No. We'll try one more time before we finish. But, yeah, I had a nice keto breakfast this morning. I haven't eaten anything since, so I'm going to have myself some dinner after the show is over tonight. So thank you, Rothman. Much love. Thank you, Rams fan, again, talking about Rich Holland early. I don't think anybody should harass him. Should people be angry at Rich Holland? Sure. I mean, there definitely is some responsibility in this, but, you know, it's just, it sucks that it happened. And this is the second time something where somebody got dumped on his, on their head. And there's something else? What I noticed, the similarity with Gargano and Big E is not just being dropped on your head, but it was like a very fast spot. You know what I mean? It's not like where, you know, like somebody was incapacitated in the ring, Ridge Holland set them up and then executed a move. Like there was motion going on. Johnny Gargano ran against the rope and Big E, you know, was charging towards Ridge Holland. If you look at both of them again, you see now you can only see the suplex here. You don't see what transpired right before it. But there was activity going on, which led to that. But you look even over here. Let me see if I could show it again. Let me see if I could show it. Try it one more time. Oh, maybe not. Can I show it? Trying to, yeah, I can. Here we go. If you look at Johnny Gargano's one more time, there you go. This he was actually moving when this happened. See, you know what's interesting? I just noticed. Look at Gargano. Gargano jumps, and Ridge Holland catches him. You look at Big E, and Big E, like, pushes off too. You see Big E? Watch, he pushes. You'll see very quickly. See how he's up? So I think in both cases, the timing was off with the push-off. That's what I think it is. I think in both times, the timing was off when the person pushed off. I did train for 9 months, so I do understand the basics. I think that's what could have been similar with both. Scary stuff, man. No doubt. Definitely scary stuff. Bob the Builder? Do I think WWE Hall of Fame has a quota to fill? Yeah, they have a lot of people that are not in the Hall of Fame that should be in the Hall of Fame, and they need to add people. And they need to add people and not wait until after they pass. I tell you, look, the Vader family is ecstatic, and that's all that matters. You know, but Vader wanted to go in so bad when he was alive and having health problems. I mean, he didn't make it any secret. He wanted to be in the Hall of Fame. That was almost one of his dying wishes. I want to go in the Hall of Fame while I'm alive, and he didn't do it. And I think there is some guilt on WWE's hands. But there's so many people that should go in. Chris Benoit will never be put in the Hall of Fame. Will never be put in the Hall of Fame. I don't care if it's 100 years from now. You don't take it. Does not diminish double murder. Fuck the suicide. I mean, the suicide is messed up. I mean, anybody that takes their life is a tragedy. The double murder is what could never be forgiven. And it doesn't wear off because 20 years have gone by. Oh, we can like, no, it's a double murder, period. And do I think the great Khali was a great wrestler? No, he was not a great wrestler. He was pretty awful, but he was a monster, a giant, and that's what his character was. He was not there to have three-star matches. He was there to have, look at Omos. Omos is never going to be this great polished wrestler that is going to have four-star matches. You have, you know, the giant character to yourself, and it's about intimidation and power and singular moves. Khali was never a great wrestler, but I don't think anybody ever wanted him to be a great wrestler. You know, I mean, there's some exceptions to the rule. There are some big men, some awesome big men over the years, but Khali was not a very good wrestler. And thank you again, Chris Cutterer. Having no knowledge of how to execute any wrestling move, he feels ignorant, putting sole blame on Ridge for what happened. He wishes others would think about that as well. Look, like I said, unfortunately, you know, the hate post is what gets the attention. You know, you see it. You see it. You look at some people that everybody dislikes, and it's a very easy way to get attention on yourself. Just throw shade. Right now, there's so much love for Big E. I'll tell you this much. I'm not going to say that he's going to do this. Would not surprise me, though, if Big E goes on another video and says, look, guys, do not put this blame on Ridge Holland. Accidents happen. And, you know, he really should not get, you know, blamed for this. I would not be surprised, even if Big E deep down inside does feel that Ridge Holland was responsible, or maybe, you know, he was the cause of it, would not be surprised if Big E goes on a video and says, look, everybody, lay off Ridge. You know, he's not a bad guy, and, you know, this was an accident, and unfortunately in the world of what we do, accidents do happen, and, you know, it was an accident, and, you know, I'll get bigger and better. So I really believe that. I really believe that. And if he doesn't, that's fine as well. But I wouldn't be surprised if he does that. Roger Rubio, thank you very much, my friend. Yeah, no sweet potato fries. I'm back on keto. I did enough damage for 2 weeks. So now I'm paying for it. It'll take me 2 months to get rid of the 2 weeks worth of abuse. So one last thing before we go, and we'll try Sammy one more time. We got his voicemail earlier. You know, actually, let's try it again. I got to talk about some ratings for a minute. Ah, we got through before. Come on, pick up the phone, you prick. Come on.
Hey, you've reached Sami Zayn. I'm not available to answer the phone right now, so please leave a message at the tone, and I'll be sure to get to you as soon as I can.
Sorry, mailbox is full. To send an SMS notification, press 5. Your SMS notification will include your number 1347572.
Yeah, I don't think so. Well, I just sent another SMS, so he's got 5 minutes to text us back. If he texts me between today and tomorrow's sit down, I will show you the text. It's a burner phone, James. It's a burner phone, but it's still hilarious. A message. Impact Wrestling. I don't know what you do at Impact Wrestling. And I'm not even trying to be dramatic here, guys. Look at Impact Wrestling's rating for this week. Look at this. 130. Oh, wait. No, that was last week, 131,000. They did like 94,000. They went down almost 30%. Guys, do you know who was on Impact this week? Willie Mack versus Kenny King. Ace Austin versus Skyler, versus Crazy Steve. The Influence, who are the Iconics. Tasha Steelz and Savannah Evans versus Mickie James. The Influence, Tasha Steelz and Savannah Evans versus Mickie James, the Inspiration, who's the Iconics, and Chelsea Green. Eddie Edwards versus Rich Swann. And you had on the show Josh Alexander, Moose, Motor City Machine Guns, the Bullet Club, consisting of Chris Bay, Jay White, the Good Brothers. We also had Jonah, PCO, and Deanna Purrazzo, Lady Frost, and others. 30% ratings drop with that roster. If their identity now is to be what Ring of Honor was, they're dead. I'm sorry to say this, and I want to see Impact Wrestling succeed. I watch Impact now more than I have in the last 5 years. But what is their identity? I mean, you had almost like an invasion storyline, but Tony Khan just bought fucking Ring of Honor. What's their identity? Their identity almost feels like a little Ring of Honor, a little New Japan, and they can't even get 100,000 viewers. What does that tell you? They don't have rookies and people that'll be stars of tomorrow. How does that feel to have the Bullet Club in the United States on television? To have Mickie James, the Iconics, Willie Mack, Moose, Josh Alexander, the Motor City Machine Guns, and you're going on and on and on, and they can't even break 100,000. What identity do they create that gets a buzz? I hate to say it, man. I think Impact Wrestling, it's just a matter of time. I really feel bad. It's just a matter of time. Some of those wrestlers are going to end up leaving Impact that are good at signed deals, especially 6 to 9 months from now when Ring of Honor actually can do stuff and Tony Khan inks a deal with some of these people. Some of them go back to New Japan. WWE picks up a few. I hate to say it, man, and it's a shame, but I am really curious to see what Impact Wrestling looks like 1 year from now. And I don't think it's good. I don't think it's good. There's only so many gimmicks, so many, you know, theme type pay-per-views that you could pull out of the bag. They can't even break 100,000 with that kind of roster. Honestly, they gave you more on their show than what Rampage does. And still, Rampage gets 6 times the number of viewers. Not good. Not good. No, Gruss, AEW didn't kill Impact. COVID killed Impact. COVID dramatically hurt a lot of promotions out there. And those companies could not absorb. They didn't have the con $10, $15 billion money sitting in their bank. They couldn't afford that kind of loss. That's why some promotions, when everybody else had fans back in attendance, some promotions. You remember the original safety protocols. We're going to lock people in their hotels, and we're going to have some doctor on the premises, and we're going to do this and do that and do this, and they're not going to be around anybody, and that's what we're going to do before. What was that? That was them trying to portray that they're being uber responsible. The fact of the matter is they were severely damaged. And they are too much a lot like Ring of Honor. They're too much a lot like maybe even MLW in some ways. They're too much a lot like what the United States see with New Japan Pro Wrestling. They are too much a lot like what they see on Rampage. Impact Wrestling just feels like another promotion that just, you look at Jay White. I mean, just out of Jay White itself, everybody's saying, oh my God, Forbidden Door, Jay White. Motherfucker can't even get 90,000 people to tune in, 100,000 people to tune in. I mean, it's just, that tells a lot, man. So everyone, I'm going to jet out of here. We're at the 90-minute mark. A little over than what we expected, but obviously with the Big E situation, we spent 30 minutes on that. Tomorrow at 8:05, I will be here for the sit-down. I will tell you tomorrow, I'm going to open the phone lines from the beginning of the show. So if you would like to call in tomorrow and talk about whatever is on your mind, it could be wrestling, it could be politics, it could be news, it could be baseball, whatever you want to talk about, the phone lines will be open for the entire hour. And we will talk questions in the chat as well, because tomorrow is strictly your questions. So I hope you could join me, 8:05 p.m. Yeah, we could talk about whatever you want. I know it's the 20th anniversary for Impact. It sure doesn't feel like it. It doesn't feel like it. But all right, everybody, enjoy the rest of your Saturday. If you enjoyed the show on your way out, hit that like button. If you're not a subscriber yet, subscribe. If you know anyone that would like the channel, let them know about it. And consider being part of next week's watch parties. We had a hell of a lot of fun this week. We did one for NXT. We did one for SmackDown. And we did one for Rampage. Next week, it seems like I will do the same three shows again. It's no money required. You do not need to have the wrestling connected to your TV or your computer. All you do is just click the link that I give you, and you enter the room. It's like a chat room, and we provide the wrestling show, and it is legal. It is through a company, Playback, and, you know, we chat. You don't have to have video. You're not required for me to hear you or see you. You could just text. Mish was there yesterday. He was just in the text chat, but we had some fun convo yesterday. Quite a few people were on stage. And no pressure. Just show up. We watch wrestling together. And tell you, it was interesting convo yesterday, especially what happened with Big E and a few other things. So Hogan is done. Hogan is done. There ain't nobody that could. There's no one person that could save Impact. There's none. Josh Alexander comes back. It's hyped up. Ratings go down 30%. All right, everybody. See you tomorrow, 8:05 p.m. Eastern. Don't forget daylight savings time. Turn your clocks ahead an hour. Fall back, spring forward. So right now, it is what? 9:44 p.m. Eastern. Technically, it's 10:44 p.m. Eastern. So don't forget to turn your clocks ahead an hour today. And I hope you could join me tomorrow, 8:05 p.m., which technically, you know, will be an hour earlier than you expect. So be well, everybody. Take care. Wait, extra hour of sleep or 1 hour less? No, you turn the clocks ahead an hour. Wait, did I get that wrong? Did I just screw this up? Wait. Hold on. Now I don't want to give him Hey, Siri, what is daylight savings time? Talk.
Here's what I found.
Okay. Daylight savings time. Okay. Adjust your... Oh, this motherfucker put... Damn it. Why do they put a suggestion, you click on it, and then you got to log in to see the article? Just for a simple answer, do we lose an hour's sleep? Yeah, so I was right. You turn the clocks ahead. Spring forward, fall back. Yeah, turn the clocks ahead. So I was right. Good night, everybody.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the host. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.